Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Coming down toward the end of 1 Corinthians 14, we find that Paul is giving very clear and explicit instructions about the regulation of the exercise of tongues and prophecy in the church, the assembly of the saints. And so he says in verse 27, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three. That's all. Each in turn, no two speaking at the same time. Let one interpret. If there's no interpreter, you can't exercise tongues in church. In fact, he says that in verse 28. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. That would be at home. Then he takes up prophecy. Similar regulations. Verse 29, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent, for you can all prophesy, one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. We dealt with these verses previously, and yesterday, particularly upon that phrase all, you may all prophesy. And I was able to say a few things about it, but I'm going to say a couple more at this time because some have gone through this chapter and they found similar phrases to this. You can all prophesy one by one and so forth, and have come to the conclusion that the early church meetings basically opened the floor for everybody to speak, everybody to participate, everybody to contribute something to the church service. But you have to take every phrase in its context, and in its context, all can prophesy one by one has to be understood in the light of verse 29 that says, let two or three prophets speak, a limitation on the number. So as we learned on the broadcast yesterday, the all there must be restricted to the all that include the two or three who are assigned to speak in the church service today. There really is not quite as much spontaneity, not quite as much extemporary spontaneity. I don't know what else to call it. Lack of order, lack of planning, lack of assignment that some people think they see in this chapter, because when you look at it very carefully, you realize, no, it's not what some people think they see here. Take it all together, take it all in context, and you realize that this is orderly, it is planned, and even those who speak are clearly assigned. They have been scheduled to speak. And next week, we'll have different ones with the gift of tongues scheduled to speak and interpreters scheduled to interpret. And likewise, we'll have different ones with the gift of prophecy scheduled to speak. It's not a free-for-all. The whole point here is orderliness. And we'll see that as we move along today. But thank you for joining me on this Friday, May 13. And we can't do it without your financial help. Thank you so much. So back to verse 31, "For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged." Back to this idea, the whole purpose is what? The edification of the saints, that you all may learn. The prophecy is revelation from God. It's God's word to teach us truth. It's revelation from which we learn. And even the tongues, likewise, are revelations from God that when they are interpreted, we can learn from these. And that's the whole point. Everything has to be done for edification. Back to verse 26. "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." And that same requirement, that same goal is held up again in verse 31. "For you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and that all may be encouraged." Edification involves both impartation of knowledge and encouragement to serve the Lord faithfully and well. Encouragement to persevere. Encouragement to trust the promises of God. Encouragement to become active in the service of the Lord and so forth. And we move on now in verses 32 and 33, where this importance of orderliness is emphasized again. And verse 32 says, "The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." What does that mean? This means that all of these gifts, whether we're talking about tongues or prophecy or any of the gifts of the Spirit, they are all under control. They are not something that comes on someone and sends them out of control. The prophets are in control of their activity. All the spiritual gifts are under control of the ones who are gifted. No one is overpowered and uncontrolled. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. They are in control. Nothing is out of the control. There is no such thing in this chapter or anywhere that resembles people being, quote, slain in the spirit and getting out of control. There is nothing in these chapters that would indicate that people get overwhelmed, overcome, and they start running around in the church service and start shouting everybody at the same time, several people at the same time, so that you can't really hear what is being said. All you know is that there are a lot of animated people who are making noise. They've been overcome. They can't help it. They can't stop it. I have been in church services or in camp meeting services, actually, where people get all excited and have actually climbed up into the rafters of the camp meeting arbor, which is sort of an unfinished building that has the rafters open. And this is thought to be wonderful evidence of the Holy Spirit at work. These people are so overwhelmed, they're out of control. But that's good, we are told. No, the Bible says it's not. That's not the way it works. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And so everything is under control. Every person is in control of his gift. Nobody gets so overwhelmed by the operation of the Holy Spirit that he starts blurting out things that he can't control. The the exercise of the gift of tongues is not like hiccups that it comes on you and you can't help it. You're out of control and you do it until the hiccups stop. It's not like that. That's the way some people envision it. But very clearly from this text of Scripture, it's not like that. Nobody's overpowered by the influence of the Spirit. Nobody's out of control by the influence of the Spirit. And that becomes a test of authenticity. If you see something that is contrary to what this is telling us, then that must not be the authentic work of the Spirit. If it's out of control, it's not of the Holy Spirit. It's the exact opposite of what some people think. Some people think out of control is evidence of the Holy Spirit. Wow, the Holy Spirit's really at work today. He's really powerful today. Look at how he's taken people over and they're falling down. They can't help themselves and they're running around. They can't help themselves and they're speaking in tongues. They can't help themselves and everybody's speaking at once. They can't help themselves. Wow, the Holy Spirit is really powerful today. That's not the Holy Spirit. It's not. Because we're told the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. They are always in control. That's why earlier, speaking about those who have the gift of prophecy and their ministry, if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. He can stop at any time. If someone else is needing to declare his prophecy, and because it's prophecy, it takes priority over exposition, as we pointed out on a previous broadcast, then the first person can stop. He's in control. He can't say, I can't stop. I can't help it. That's not the Holy Spirit. And the reason why this is true, we're told in verse 33, is because this is what reflects the character of God. God is not a God of confusion. But God is a God of peace, that is, of a peaceful atmosphere. And we're told, therefore, that the character of worship reflects the character of the God who is worshiped. For God is not the author of confusion. Well, what is he? But of peace, that is, of a peaceful and quiet atmosphere, an orderly atmosphere, as in all the churches of the saints. Is that difficult to understand? This is not just an instruction for the church at Corinth. This is a universal instruction for all the churches, as in all the churches of the saints. The principle applies to all churches everywhere at all times, not just Corinth. So in all of this, control and order and a peaceful atmosphere is required and is God-honoring and is evidence that God is at work. If that's not what you are observing, then that's not God at work in this grandstanding, this out-of-control business, this confusion, this everybody speaking at once. Isn't it strange how sometimes we can actually turn things upside down, and we think the very thing God says is not of the Holy Spirit of God is evidence of the Holy Spirit of God. We must not be reading our Bibles. Let's pay very close attention to what the Bible says and let the Bible inform our ideas and correct our wrong ideas. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.